Let me invite you to take your Bible with me tonight, if you would, so we continue on in this study of Scripture meditations. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs 16 tonight. Proverbs 16. Tonight our attention is going to be focused on the third verse, Proverbs 16 and verse 3. As we come to that verse, what we see and what we read together is simply this: commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Pray with me, please, as we get underway in our study. Father, we ask and pray tonight that as we come to your word, as we take a few moments to look at this verse of scripture, which gives to us a couple simple challenges to live by. I pray, Lord, that you would give our hearts understanding, and Lord, a willingness to not only give assent, but to accept and apply the very truths that we see and that which we will learn. So, Father, we commit ourselves to you, this time to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. A pastor one Sunday caught the attention of his congregation during the sermon when he made the following statement. He said, "Every night I go to bed with two other men." You can imagine that you could at that point in time in that service have heard a pin drop. He then went on to say, "Their names are Mr. Have To and Mr. Want To." As the congregation sighed a sigh of relief, the pastor began to speak of the reality that he faces with these two men in his life. He said, "In the morning, I am awakened to the pleas of Mr. Have To. Mr. Have To is there in the morning to tell me it's time to get up, to start the day right by spending time with God in reading the Bible and in prayer. As he begins to awaken me in the day, and as I begin to prepare to join him, Mr. Want-To begins to inquire and says, 'What's going on?' And Mr. Have-To therefore replies that we have to get up, we have to have our devotion, spend time with God, read his word, and we need to pray. To that, Mr. Want-To declares, 'I don't want to.'" The pastor mentioned that at that point, he is more inclined to agree with Mr. Want-To, but because of the urgings of Mr. Have-To, he gets himself out of bed and begins to make his way downstairs. As he gets comfortable in his chair, as he begins his time with God and reading his word and having his devotions, Mr. Have-To and the pastor begin to notice that Mr. Want-To is peeking in through the door. Mr. Want-To now begins to ask if he could join them. Mr. Have-To turns to the pastor and says, "Does he have to?" To which Mr. Want-To replies, "But I want to." The pastor then expressed, "It's at that very moment that my time with God becomes sweet and profitable." All of us, in reality, face those times and struggles with the have-tos and the want-tos. Within our Christian experience, there are things that we struggle to want to commit to. Yet what we discovered tonight from our text is the simple thought that when I commit my ways unto the Lord, he will fill my life with confidence, assurance, and blessing. So I want you to note two simple thoughts with me, each from one half of the verse, and consider them together tonight. The first half of the verse, verse 3, says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord." In that phrase, what we have is an expression of faith. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The writer of this section of Proverbs is dealing with the truth of God's sovereign control. In fact, you will notice, and did you look at the first, I think it's seven verses. Those first seven verses all refer to the Lord and His working in the lives of His people. It's dealing with the thought that our God is in control. He sovereignly controls. He providentially controls. He rules over heaven and earth. And He controls the affairs of men. Now, folks, all of us sitting here tonight are going to give assent to that fact, that God is in control, that He rules over heaven and earth, He rules over the affairs of men. The problem is, according to verse 3, that it takes an expression of faith and the acceptance of that truth on your part and my part. And so the writer of Proverbs says, commit thy works unto the Lord. That is an expression of your faith. That's an expression of my faith, that I am willing to commit my works, my day, my life, my thoughts, my actions, my family, my ministry to the Lord. The reality is, I know in the back of my mind, God's in control. The struggle is that sometimes I don't want to accept that reality, but I have to. But I don't want to is my problem. Because I want to believe that I'm in control. I want to believe that I set my agenda, that I determine my direction. I want to believe that I supply for my needs. How many times does God have to put us in a spot where we realize and learn that we are not able in and of ourselves to do anything, but we are fully dependent on Him? So Solomon writes and says, commit thy works unto the Lord. That is an expression of our faith. And we know that's true simply by this word commit. The word commit here is a word literally that we could render it this way, to roll. It speaks of our full dependence on another. We are to roll our works upon the Lord. That's literally what the writer is here saying. Commit. Take your works, take your life, take your agenda, take your family, take your ministry, and roll that onto Christ. Submit to His sovereign control. You roll that to Him. And really, the idea of this is, we could say it this way. Roll the burdens of your life, which you today carry on your shoulders, and roll them over onto the everlasting, omnipotent, faithful, loving arms of God. Commit your way unto Him. What that requires, folks, is that you and I take our greatest concerns and our greatest cares and cast them upon the Lord. That's what Peter meant when he said in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all of your care upon Him. Why? He cares for you. So we can look at the things going on in our life. Richard can look at the reality of a surgery coming up. And there's questions to it, right? There's concerns with that for all of us as we consider that in Richard's life. What's the challenge? Well, God is sovereign. He is in control. Roll that burden onto the everlasting arms of Christ. We as parents get concerned for our kids. Amy and I now live in this realm of we have a few months with and a lot of months without. Okay? 1 year's under the belt, another year's coming, and we're just a few weeks away. As parents, you're concerned for your kids, and it doesn't matter what age they are. Right? Some of you have children that are married. You still are concerned for them. Right? What's God say about that? Take your burden and roll that to God. By the way, why can I do that with such confidence? Because they belong to Him anyway, right? We dedicated them to Him. They're His. Roll that burden onto the Lord. That is an expression of our faith. We are to commit our works, our way, our will. And folks, that requires that we are then willing to submit our wills for our lives to His will. Again, one of the greatest challenges to me when you consider the model of prayer that the Lord Jesus gave to His apostles when they came and said, Lord, teach us to pray like You pray. And He said, fine. Here's what you need to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. The next phrase always gets me. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's not how we pray. Our prayer is, may My will be done in heaven as I want it done on earth. Right? That's what we mean when we go to God. Listen sometimes to the way you pray. Become a member of the audience, so to speak, when you make those requests to God. And know what you're going to find sometimes? What I really ask for is My will to be done in heaven. And that's not what Jesus said. The prayer is, Father, let Your will from heaven be done here on earth in my life, through my life. That means I have to submit my will. I have to submit my ambitions. I have to submit my fears, my anxieties, and my cares. Through an expression of faith, I commit my way unto the Lord. And folks, sometimes that's a struggle between Mr. Have To and Mr. Want To. And we're going to have to wrestle through that from time to time. Here's what we find, though. When I commit my works to God and seek to fulfill His will, He pours out His blessing and gives me the strength and wisdom to accomplish that which is best for me. Let me give you a couple of illustrations tonight about submitting our will and following the will of God. Let's talk about our family for a moment. In Ephesians chapter 5, this admonition is given to every man. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, so that you might through your life and through your ministry to her sanctify and cleanse her through the washing of the water of the word. It's quite a challenge, right, men? Do you always feel like loving her? No, don't, women, don't go asking your husbands tonight. But men, let's be honest, sometimes it's hard, isn't it? And the have to and the want to begins to fight. And yet what God's will is for you to do is to love her. When? All the time. So men, let's be realistic. We've gone to work. We've had a rough day. Things haven't gone our way. In fact, everything we touch turned to dust. You ever had those days? It's either dust or rust, and nothing seems to work. And you come home, and the first thing your wife says is, the shower broke. Well, it's not going to do me any good to fix it, because everything I touch turns to dust and rust, right? In that moment, you're really not thinking, I want to give of myself to go fix that. But isn't that what we need to do in this expression of love unto her? It's hard. Ladies, do you know what God commands you to do towards your husband? It's different. Ephesians says, husbands, love your wives. That's the word agape. God does not say that to wives. In fact, when you find that over, I believe it's in Colossians, what it says is, ladies, have compassion, phileo, on your husbands and your children. Different kind of love. Ladies, is it always easy for you to have compassion for him? He's not always easy to love, is he? Not always easy. All the ladies are chuckling right now. It's amazing how that works. But here's what it is, folks. It comes down to the reality is we're called yet to do that. even when it's difficult and even when it's hard and I don't want to submit my will to this, God says, do it. What happens? There is blessing. Consider this thought with me. You and I are called, are we not, to spread the good news of the gospel? We are called to share that with those whom we know. We are called to make disciples. We are called to be witnesses. We are called to spread the seed and to spread it abundantly. Do we always feel like it? Do we feel like getting up on a Saturday morning and going out with the Open Door Ministry? Do we always feel like having that conversation with that person that God lays on our heart and we go, but if I have that conversation, it's going to take longer than I really want to give, and I know you want me to, but can it not be today? And yet God says, plant the seed. He says, water the seed. What does he promise to do when we're faithful? Give the increase. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. But folks, when it comes to our works and our life and our agendas and everything that there is, and you can apply this to every area of your life, at work, at home, in the church, in ministry, in your community, in your neighborhood, the reality is there are things that God wants you and I to be involved in. And sometimes we have to, and sometimes we have the want-tos, but we don't always want that to work out the right way. And sometimes we just want to say, I know I have to, but I don't want to. And here's what God says. Commit your works unto me. It's an expression of faith. Here's what the second half of the verse tells us. There is the evidence of faith that comes because of that expression. Here's what it says. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Here's the evidence of faith. When I commit our works to the Lord, my works unto him, he promises to establish my thoughts. Matthew Henry made this observation. He said, it is a very desirable thing to have your thoughts established. And if you think about that, folks, for a moment, wouldn't we all want that to be the case? Yeah. And I think you're really going to say yes when you understand what it means. What the writer of Proverbs says is that when I commit my works unto the Lord, he will establish my thoughts. Here's the meaning of that word established. It means to be not tossed about. It speaks of allowing me to be steady, able to maintain on a current course. It carries the idea of not being disturbed, not in a hurry because of the disquieting fears and cares. It speaks of me having a confidence in my life. And that confidence is found in him. How easy, folks, is it for you and I to be overrun by cares and concerns? How easy is it for us to lose focus, to get off track, instead of remaining on our true course? It's easy, folks, for you and I to turn off the GPS of God's word and begin to seek a course of our own will and our own choosing. And yet the writer of Proverbs says, when you commit your works to the Lord, he will establish your thoughts. He won't allow you to be tossed about. He won't allow you to be disturbed and hurried by the disquieting fears and cares. Why? Because they've been given over unto him. Now I'm settled. Now I have a confidence. Now I have a peace. The reality is, we often don't do this because we don't want to do God's will, or perhaps we're recoiling against what I have to do. And so I don't want to cast my cares to him. I don't want to commit my works, because I'm fighting against what his will is for me in my life. Yet God says, when I commit, I will establish your thoughts. Okay, put it to you this way. Sometimes feelings follow action. I don't feel like it. I don't want to. But when I do, the feelings follow after. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Proverbs 37:4. Anybody know what verse 5 says? Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Exact sentiment. But I don't want to delight. I don't want to have my devotions. I don't feel like reading my Bible today. I don't want to do the hard work of prayer. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to be nice. I don't want to love my wife. I don't want to be compassionate towards my husband. I don't want to witness. I don't want to do it. Yet God says sometimes we need to commit our way and trust, and he'll let everything be established. It all follows. Can I give you two quick examples for consideration tonight? In this idea, can I give you the first? Jonah. Jonah knew what he was supposed to do. Jonah knew the message that he was supposed to share. He knew where he was supposed to go. He knew what he had to say. And Jonah said, no way, I don't want to. And he went in the other opposite direction. Even when he finally commits, I'm going to put that in quotations, he does it begrudgingly. God still used it, and the whole city repents. Where do you find Jonah? Sitting under the gourd, angry as could be that those people got saved. Okay. Way to go, prophet. Major revival. You're the author of it, and you're mad. I don't know of any evangelist today that's going to sit down in his trailer mad because they had 35 people saved in one meeting. I mean, that hits Facebook, and he's like the new guy that everyone wants to have in their services, right? But there's Jonah. Entire city turns to God, and he's mad. Why? Because I don't want to, even though I have to. And he missed out on all the blessings that God had for him. Because he wasn't really willing to commit his ways to the Lord. Can you contrast that with me, with Joseph? Every trial, every tribulation, and every heartache that could come his way, he faced as a young man. Yet in it all, he did the will of God. He found what God wanted for him at that moment. He committed his way, his works, and he trusted. And God settled him and established him. That was true in Potiphar's house. That was true in prison. And it was true in Pharaoh's house as he became the second in command in all of Egypt, which, by the way, at that moment in time was the greatest empire in the world. And yet, he was always the same. There's a beautiful statement found in Scripture with Joseph's life. And that statement is simply this. Here is Joseph, and the evidence is God was with him. I don't think you could say that of Jonah. God used the begrudging prophet, and his gospel and the message of salvation is strong. And repentance worked because the message is true. Just like, by the way, sometimes the message that is preached from the wrong people still has the right impact because God's message will not come back void. But in Joseph, not only did he receive a blessing, his family received a blessing, all the surrounding nations received the blessing of God, and his Pharaoh received the blessing of that. Everywhere he went, there was blessing. And what you can say of him was this: I committed my works unto the Lord. There's an expression of faith, and the evidence that follows is his thoughts were established. How about you and me? There's have-tos, there's want-tos. Sometimes we want to fight off Mr. Have-to because we don't really want to. And yet the reality is, God says, are you willing, though, to commit your works to me? Your life, your day, your agenda, your family, your will, your ambitions. Can I give those to God? In absolute trust and assurance that he'll establish my thoughts, that he'll bring it to pass. Simple verse. And in that verse, it's a great challenge to our faith. And I hope that all of us would be willing to commit our works unto the Lord. Father, thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to look into your word, to be able to study it out together. And Lord, just to meditate upon a short and simple verse, but may each of us be willing to commit our works unto you, that our thoughts be established. We thank you, Lord, and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.